anything and everything.
Do you ever wonder how to? Do you ever wonder why?
About anything and everything. Then Doris is your guide. Anything and everything will open your mind. Anything and everything with Doris. Anything and everything with Doris is online. Remember.
Remember.
Anything and everything with Doris.
Hello, everyone, and welcome. You are listening to the Anything and Everything with Doris podcast, and I am your host, Doris. This episode is brought to you by WYSK Spark Radio, where they play uplifting music to get you through the day. You can find it on Live 365 Spark Radio. Hello, everyone, and welcome back. I hope you're having a blessed day. I am often asked about the safety of room deodorizers and even about specific brands. Many consumers today are seeking more natural, organic, clean products, and companies are aware of this and use terms that make their products sound better than they are. When it comes to labeling cosmetics, which include not only personal items, but air fresheners and cleaners, the FDA does not have a law protecting you from words like organic, all natural, and so forth. That is the job of the National Organic Program, otherwise known as the NOP, and the USDA. So if you are seeking products that are safer, then check the labels and research the ingredients. The EWG.org is helpful with that. One way I look for safer products is I seek products that have the shortest list of ingredients, but even that is not foolproof. Today, I am going to go over the ingredients from a brand that is deemed safe and show you that it is not 100% safe as many believe it is. It only has 9 ingredients in it, which is great, but 3 are a concern for me. Here are the ingredients listed, and I want you to pay attention to the order of these ingredients as well. Water, alcohol denatured, fragrance, PEG-40 hydrogenated castor oil, Tritoseth-9, honeysuckle flower extract, orange peel oil, Lang Lang flower oil, and sodium citrate. Now notice that the first ingredient is water. That means that the product is mostly made of water, but that's okay because this is common in liquid products. I want you to understand that the order of ingredients is important because the higher up on the list, the more of that ingredient is in the product. So water is number 1 of 9 ingredients. Next is denatured alcohol, which is also normal for this type of product. However, the next 3 on the list are concerning to me. These are the 3 that I will be discussing today. Number 3 on the list is fragrance, but that could be confusing because if you look over to 6, 7, and 8, that's honeysuckle flower extract, orange peel oil, and Lang Lang flower oil. Those are actual plants that give you the scent. So why are they so far down the list, but number 3 says fragrance? Well, if you didn't know any better, that would confuse you. The ingredient fragrance can often be used as a surfactant or an emulsifying agent and used in perfuming. Note that it may be in the product not as a scent, but a surfactant or an emulsifying agent. You see how they sneak something in a product that you may not know what it is if they list it as a fragrance? Under U.S. regulations, fragrance and flavor ingredients can be listed simply as fragrance or flavor. FDA requires the list of ingredients under the Fair Packaging and Labeling Act. This law is not allowed to be used to force a company to tell trade secrets. fragrance and flavor formulas are complex mixtures of many different natural and synthetic chemical ingredients, and they are the kinds of cosmetic components that are most likely to be considered trade secrets. Now notice it says natural and synthetic chemical ingredients. Now imagine that your product is claiming it's organic, all natural, and you see all these natural plants listed, but the fragrance, that's the trade secret, that may have something synthetic in it. Well, in my book, if you just put one little bitty drop of something that isn't natural, then it's no longer considered natural to me. But it doesn't work that way out there. So just beware of that. The FDA does not have the same legal authority to require allergen labeling for cosmetics as for food. So if you're concerned about fragrance sensitivities, you need to choose products that are fragrance-free and check the ingredient list carefully. If consumers have questions, they may choose to contact the manufacturer directly. We often hear a lot of bad stuff about phthalates. Now, why am I mentioning phthalates? Because it's not listed in the ingredient list, right? But you would be surprised to know that it was snuck in under fragrance. Phthalates are a group of chemicals used in hundreds of products. The phthalates commonly used in fragrance products are diethyl phthalate, or DEP. DEP does not pose known risk for human health, and it is currently in cosmetics and fragrances. Now you have DBP and DEHP phthalates that have been linked to asthma, ADHD, breast cancer, obesity, type 2 diabetes, low IQ, neurodevelopmental issues, behavioral issues, autism, altered reproductive development, and male fertility issues. Therefore, it is especially important to know what ingredients are in the products you are using. And it can be confusing to figure these things out, and that is why you need to go to EWG.org, because that guide will help you. And if anything changes, like right now they're claiming that the DEP phthalates are safe, if that changes, and it may have changed already, that's how quick things can change, the EWG.org will let you know that. The fourth ingredient listed, PEG-40 hydrogenated castor oil, is a polyethylene glycol derivative of castor oil. It may be contaminated with potentially toxic impurities such as 1,4-dioxane. The EWG score is 1 to 3 limited. Now the FDA says the compound 1,4-dioxane is a trace contaminant in some cosmetic products. It is not used as an ingredient in cosmetics, but may be present in extremely small amounts in some cosmetics. 1,4-dioxane forms as a byproduct during the manufacturing process of certain cosmetic ingredients. These ingredients include certain detergents, foaming agents, emulsifiers, and solvents identifiable by the prefix word or syllables PEG, polyethylene, polyethylene glycol, polyoxyethylene, ETH, or OXYNOL. Now, a trace contaminant is defined as a contaminant that makes up 1% or less of the total dissolved solids in a water. The U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, otherwise known as the EPA, has classified 1,4-dioxane as likely to be carcinogenic to humans based on a finding of sufficient evidence of carcinogenicity in animals intentionally exposed to that ingredient, but inadequate evidence of carcinogenicity in humans. However, the EWG website advises PEG-40 to be linked to asthma and respiratory problems, skin allergies, irritation, development and reproductive toxicity, DNA damage, and cancer. You can check out that link below. The fifth ingredient on that list is tridecef-9. It is a polyethylene glycol ether of tridecyl alcohol. Now the EWG scores it a 1. The number 9 indicates the average number of units of ethylene oxide in a molecule. It's used as a surfactant or an emulsifying agent. The EWG concerns are use restrictions and non-reproductive organ system toxicity. Now here are a few notes that I like to point out. In 2017, two senators requested that the FDA promulgate a rule clarifying that products containing detectable concentrations of 1,4-dioxane are adulterated and therefore prohibited in interstate commerce. Also, there are three other agencies that you can look into. In the Environment Canada Domestic Substance List, it will classify things that are expected to be toxic or harmful. It'll let you know if it's a medium or high or low human health priority, or if it's suspected to be persistent or bioaccumulative. And then you also have the Cosmetic Ingredient Review Assessment that determines if things are safe for use in cosmetics, the subject to concentration or use limitations, whether they're safe and with what qualifications as well. And then, of course, the NLM PubMed, which I go to a lot. Now, in episode 3, I discuss the FDA and what their role is, and I'll have that link also listed in the show notes below. Now, those are the three ingredients that deter me from using a lot of air fresheners as well as other products. Instead, I create my own deodorizers with water, alcohol, vegetable glycerin, and essential oils. Now, notice that's only 4 ingredients. Well, it could be a little more depending on how many different essential oils, but notice it's all natural and healthy. So, if you're interested in making your own room deodorizer, here's a simple recipe. And you can find more recipes on my blog, and that link is going to be listed in the show notes below as well. So the first thing you're going to need, if you're going to make perfume, you're going to want an atomizer or a roller ball. If you're doing an air freshener for the room, get a spray bottle. You want distilled water. Alcohol, which could be rubbing alcohol or vodka. I prefer to use vodka. In fact, Everclear is my favorite. But if you're going to use a cheaper alcohol, make sure it's 60% or higher. And if it's rubbing alcohol, try to be with the 91%. Vegetable glycerin is optional, but I like it because it helps everything mix together, because water, alcohol, and oils will separate. Well, that's what the glycerin's going to do. It's going to keep it together. And then, of course, the essential oils. If you have a choice, if you have to go out and buy a spray bottle, I prefer the amber glass bottles, but I also reuse the plastic bottles that came with store-bought air fresheners after I clean them out thoroughly. Because, yeah, sometimes I will buy something from the store. I'll check the ingredients, and I won't use it all the time. You know what I mean? Like, I'll go buy it, I'll use it, and then I'll just clean out that bottle and make something a little bit healthier. And another fun thing about making your own stuff is you don't have to worry about, if I go to the store, is it going to have something I like? Or what if the favorite scent I have is out? Well, you make your own. Okay, so in these recipes, you can add more or less of the scents that you like. You can mix it up a little bit. This is just a little bit of a guide. These two recipes call for 8-ounce bottles. But if you have a smaller bottle or a larger bottle, then just do the math and do it accordingly. The first recipe I'm going to give you, I call it Wake You Up. 3/4 cup of water, 2 tablespoons of vodka, rubbing alcohol, or real vanilla extract. It'll give you a little vanilla flavor, but it also has natural alcohol with it. So if you don't want to use the vodka or the rubbing alcohol, just use some real vanilla extract. And then 10 drops of wild orange essential oil and 8 drops of peppermint essential oil. Shake it all up. That is so simple. And then your good night sleep tight recipe. 3/4 cup of water, 2 tablespoons of real vanilla extract, 10 drops of lavender essential oil, and 5 drops of chamomile essential oil. You can create your own perfumes this way. Just use small atomizer bottles or roll-ons like I mentioned. And if you prefer creamy scents that you rub on, just add beeswax and pour in a jar. And you can find those recipes on my blog, which I also have listed in the link below. Now, some people don't really like to use alcohol if they're going to do it for a perfume, especially if you like to spray it on your skin because it could be a little drying. You could also use a carrier oil. One of my favorite carrier oils for perfume would be sweet almond or coconut, but you could use anything else, any other carrier oils. So I hope you enjoyed the recipes, and I hope you've learned a little bit on trying to figure out ingredients and what's better for you and your family. And for me, the best part is creating my own. So I hope you really have fun with that. Thank you for listening, and God bless. Be sure to check out our show notes below, where you can donate to support us, check our references, or see what else we offer. Thank you for listening. God bless.